Numbers chapter 22. I hope you didn't have plans to barbecue this weekend. Oh, praise the Lord. My wife and I went to the Sells house last night, and we were leaving the Sells house, and it was like a blizzard. And I mean, I'm telling you right now, how many are ready for spring? Okay, just wondered. We're going to talk for the next whatever it takes, amount of messages, amount of lessons, about a fella named Balaam. About a fella named Balaam. You know, there's more to him than just the donkey. So we're going to talk a little bit about him this morning and kind of tell you what. It's amazing to me how Christians go through this. And I don't know everything about the background of this man. Just I'm going to make some assumptions throughout these lessons that we're going to talk about. And they may or may not be correct, the assumptions that I make, but I do know what the Bible says about him, and that's what we're going to stick to. I can assume some things about him, I believe, because of the way the Scripture says and talks about him. And I'm going to try to pull some lessons from him to our own life and some of the things that we go through and some of the things that we think. It's amazing what a man is able to think. It's amazing what his mind does and what he goes through. And sometimes I believe God is so patient with us. I mean, it's so merciful with us and the way we do things and the way we think. Sometimes God is amazing to me that he allows us to continue, that he allows us to do the things that we do. That free will that God has given us is truly amazing how patient along the way he is with that. And Balaam, as you look at him, in Numbers chapter 22, let's just go ahead and do some reading. Let's start out. Let's start out in verse 5. Now, let's just start out in verse 1. We're in no hurry today. It's just snowing outside anyhow. In Numbers chapter 22 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw that all that Israel had done to the Amorites." Israel is on a tear through this land, and the Lord is just driving out the enemies before them. He is winning great battles along the way, and Israel is making headway. They aren't in the promised land yet, but they're headed towards that way, and in this direction, they're on the side of Jordan there. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel, because everybody's losing. Moab doesn't want to lose. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot not that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." Balaam, and again, I'm going to make an assumption here. I believe personally that Balaam is a man of God that's in the wrong place. I believe he's a man of God that's in the wrong country, in the wrong people, around the wrong things, because Balaam, although he knows he is a man, or I'm sorry, Balak, even though he knows he is a man that who he blesses is blessed, and who cursed is cursed, he does not understand that this man is not among his people. Now, the Israelites, and this man may be a saved man that's in this country. He may be a man that is not an Israelite, but he may be somebody that is a saved man that should be seeking after God's will and seeking after God's way, because later on you see that God speaks to him and God gives him things to do. I've got to be honest with you, a man that knows the Lord and the Lord speaking unto him, a man that is in this position that does not know what he ought to do, is in the wrong place. He's in the wrong spot. He should be in a place where he's not asked to do these things. It's amazing to me how Christians can put themselves in a position, hey, you're close to God, how about you do this for me? Or, hey, I know you know the Lord, and it's amazing to me how the world can come after us and ask us to do things and ask us to be places and ask us to say things, and a lot of it's okay, but it's amazing to me how the world is trying to use this man to go against the people of God. Is that not what's happening here? Now look at this. Come now, therefore, verse 6, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, but that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot not that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. I know that if you say it, it'll come to pass. I know that if you curse this people, I'll win. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? You know, there's people that we should not entertain. You know, there's people that we should just not entertain. I got to be honest with you. I get a little bit nervous when fellas say, yeah, I had JWs come to my door and we invited them in and I talked to them about the Lord. You know, I got to be honest with you. If the Lord came down at that moment, he'd say, who are these with you? He tells you not to bid him Godspeed. He tells you that, are you going to win that argument? Is it going to make you feel more intelligent to talk to them about the Bible? No, the Lord doesn't tell you to go ahead and entertain those people. The Lord says to go ahead and bid him Godspeed. Get out of my house. Get off my porch. Don't have to be mean. I always come in the door and say, hey, I'm a Baptist preacher. There's no way anything we've got to say to each other is going to get us anywhere. So please, get off my porch. And you may or may not like that or whatever, but it's amazing to me how we entertain things, thinking of maybe of ourselves that we have something to offer. We have of ourselves something that is interesting, or we have of ourselves, oh, well, you need to tell them about the Lord. Hand them a tract and get them off your porch. If you look at this, he should have told them to get out of his house. Who are these men with thee? You know, it's amazing that we find ourselves in the world, and I'm not against being with people that are not saved. What I am against is partaking in what the saved, unsaved people are doing. And even, I'm telling you, even there's some saved folks that I wouldn't be with. There's some saved folks I wouldn't be with. Just because of the fact that they don't want to lead a Christian life. They don't want to do the right things. And I'm going to tell you, I believe you know who they are. Look at this now. And he said to them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Look at this. The elders of Moab and the elders of Midian, this is verse 7 again, departed with the rewards of divination. This man is sending him stuff because he's going to divine what to do. It's a different ball game. Divination and hearing something from God is not the same thing. They rewards of divination in their head. They came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. It's amazing to me that he even thought for one moment. And I don't know the background of this man, and I don't believe the Bible explains it to us. But it's amazing to me how this man had to think and ask God, shall I curse this people? The Lord is leading them everywhere they go. They're winning every battle. The Lord is in the charge of them. Should I go ahead and curse this people? What do you think God's going to say? Amen? But he has these people, these worldly people staying in his house, these worldly people that are there for one specific purpose, to beat the people of Israel. That's what they're there for. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, look at this now, this is not difficult to understand, this next statement. This is not difficult. Should I curse this people? Should I go with them? The Lord said, thou shalt not go with them. Is that difficult to understand? Is that difficult to comprehend? Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Again, I'm not going to tell you that this is a saved man. I'm not going to talk, because I believe God can talk to anybody. But I will tell you this, he's in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. That I know. I believe he's a saved man, but to me, that part of it, the what's relevant here is God is talking to him and God says, curse me not this people. Amen? Look at this. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prophets of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. I believe this is God's man. I really do. I really do. I believe this is God's man. He's, nope, the Lord does not give me permission to go. Man, glory to God. There's a preacher finally standing up. God said no. Amen? But I got to be honest with you. God does not need to tell me, Brother Dave, you should not go away from this book. God does not need to tell me that. I already know that. I do not need to go, God, should I go away from your word? Nope, don't need. He doesn't need to tell me that. I don't need to ask him that. It's right here. I know it. You know, it's amazing to me. There's some things you don't need to pray about. Oh, come on, preacher. You ought to pray about everything. No, you don't need to pray about cursing the Jewish people. You don't need to pray about leaving your Bible. You don't need to pray about going out soul winning. You don't need to pray about getting saved. You don't need to pray. Let me tell you something. You ought to do the things that God wants you to do. He's told you to do them. Why would we take time and not do them? Lord, should I curse your people? Is that the dumbest statement you ever heard? The answer is simple. No. Thou shalt not go with them, for they are blessed. Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes, get out of here. Verse 14, the princes of Moab rose up and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent again, yet again, princes more and more honorable than they. He didn't think it was real important the first time around. Now he's sending the big guns. Well, now we're going to send the big guns. Brother Dave, you didn't come on our side. I love this is what happened. Remember Gail Ripplinger? I don't know if you remember her or not. She used to be part of this church. She's probably in the top, I would say the top 1% of linguists in all of the world. This woman is brilliant, okay? And there was a church that really, really, really wanted to refute the authenticity of the King James Bible, wanted to refute the inspiration of the Bible. They knew that if they could get her on board, that they would have some ground to stand on. They would have a foot in. If they got this lady, they would go ahead and have a En-ROADS. So they sent a letter. Well, the letter didn't do it. The letter didn't get her to change her mind, so they went ahead and sent the big guns in, hoping and praying that these big guns, in quotation marks, would get her to understand that maybe she doesn't know everything she's talking about. And it's amazing to me that they went in thinking, well, she's just a woman. What could she know? That's the truth. And she has called us and sent us letters saying that's what they said. You're a woman. What can you know? I got to be honest with you. There's a lot of women a lot smarter than us men. I'll tell you that right now. So you don't need to agree with me, Grandma Sue. You ain't one of them. Anyways, but anyways, so they sent these men over to see her. And I'm telling you, she's brilliant. She blew them right out of the water. This Greek scholar guy went in there to be talking with her, and she knew more Greek than she forgot more Greek than he knows. She wasn't persuaded. See, as Christians, there's things that we ought not be persuaded about. And to not be persuaded, you have to be settled. You have to be settled, you personally. She was settled. She settled, and I'm telling you right now, she'll go to the grave settled. It didn't matter who went to see her, she was settled. She was offered these things. She was offered these rewards. She was offered, if you do this, we'll do this. Do you know there's times that you ought not accept rewards? There's times that the payment should never be big enough. She sent them away saying, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're saying. This is what God has said. This is where I'm going to stay. When Balaam got the word from God, he should have said, that's the word and that's it. Amen? Now look at this. The prince of Moab, and they went to Balak. Verse 15, Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. I will make you one of the greatest preachers in the whole wide world. Just curse the Jewish people. I will make you one of the most well-known men in all of the world. Just curse me this people. I offer you these things. Just curse me this people. I think of Satan tempting Jesus. I will give you all these kingdoms if you just bow unto me." Jesus says, "You can have it. Get away from me, Satan." Here it is. He said, Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, listen to this, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Man, that sounds like a good man right there. That's a good start. You couldn't give me enough to get me away from this book. That I can promise you. I don't care what you say. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you agree with me or don't. I'm staying right with this word. Balaam should have stayed right with that word. Here he is. He's saying, "I won't do it. No matter what happens, I won't do it." Christian, I'm going to tell you, you better get it settled in your heart. Because the argument is fierce. The rewards of the world are great. And I promise you this. We cannot go away from the word and not be unharmed. Look at this. Verse 19. "Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night." Didn't God ask him, "What are these men doing here?" You ever felt like you were in the wrong place with the wrong people? You ever had God nudge your heart and say, "Man, you just don't belong here"? I felt that way. I felt like God has said, "You know what? You ought not be here. But Lord, these aren't necessarily bad people. You ought not be here. All they're doing is staying." No, no, no. You ought not be here. There's something wrong here. It wasn't your heart telling you that. It was the Spirit telling you that. You ought not be here. And he says, in this verse of stand in verse 18, "I cannot," in verse 19, "tarry ye also here, that I may know what the..." See, God, did we understand what God said at first? Did we understand? He said, "Thou shalt not go." Real easy, right? Look at this. "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." There is no more answer. That's the answer. You should not go. That's the answer. That's it. That's done. I'm amazed that he continues to ask. "You should not." I believe there's times that God doesn't tell us "thou shalt not," and we should pray and ask and pray and ask and pray and ask for his direction. But there's times when God says, "No, you ought not go," and we sit there and still ask. You know what's right or wrong sometimes. God lets you know that right off the bat. Why would you continue to bother him with it? Amen? Terry, you hear this now. I believe he saw the gold. "Though he give me a house full of it, but it sure is pretty. Though he give me great promotion, but boy, that sure would be nice. The most noble princes are here, and they are desiring my presence." Preachers go through this. They get asked to preach in these grand auditoriums. They get asked to preach in front of these great crowds and don't care for one moment who they're on the platform with. I'll never forget. I do the memorial service for Wood Courtright. Every year I do the memorial service. And the man that runs the funeral home down there is he's a friend of mine. He's a good man. Good man. Not saved man, but he's a good man. Talk to him about the Lord, but think about a funeral director. They hear every religion. They hear them all. And I believe they become very callous to it. But he's a good friend, good man. But his good friend is also a priest. And a memorial service one year, and I don't remember everything that the man said, but it was so out of bounds. It was so not scriptural. He never opened his Bible. He opened up, there's a book that they have for funerals. Catholic have a funeral book that they read from. Whatever. But he read from that, and it wasn't even close to Scripture. I don't even know what he was talking about. Me sitting on that platform made me feel like I was in agreement with him. Me sitting in that place made me feel as I was in agreement with that man. I'm not in agreement with that man. I went to the man that runs a funeral home down there after the service, and I said, listen, you're a good friend, good man, and I tell you, I hate to do this to you, but I will not be part anymore if that man keeps delivering the message. Because at the time, I was just singing. I said, I won't do it. I can't do it because it makes me look like I'm in agreement with him, and I'm not. And I took the Bible and even showed him. I don't think he cared about that, but I took the Bible. This is against Bible, what he just said. He says, oh, that's all right. I'll just have you preach it next year. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's what happens in our life. We have this grand desire, and I would love to be able to preach in front of 25,000 people. I would love it. I would love it. I would love to have the opportunity just to absolutely shuck the corn in front of 25,000 people. That'd be wonderful. But if I have to sell out to a crowd that I don't want to be with, if I have to sell out, you say, well, the message is there. That's what matters. Well, you got the chance to preach the message. But it matters who you run with. It matters who you're rubbing shoulders with. It matters what men are up there. It matters what their message is going to be. The Word of God matters. And I'm going to tell you, there's times when you've got to not do things that you really want to do. You really had fun. It was really great. But there's times that you can't do those things anymore. Why? Because God doesn't want you to. Now, therefore, I pray you tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night. Listen to this now. I want you to see this. Because a lot of folks think, well, God gave him permission. Watch this now. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee. Look what this says. Now, you got to read the Word of God. Don't you go just thinking that, oh, well, this is what happened. You've got to read what the Word of God says. All right? Let's study a little bit now. Don't skip over stuff. Let's study a little bit. And if the men come to call thee, rise up. What does that say? If the men come to call thee, rise up. Is that not what that says? It says, if the men come to call thee, rise up. God said, if the men come to call thee, rise up. Look at this. And go with them. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. If the men come. It's amazing how God knew what Balaam was thinking. It's amazing that God knows your heart. It's amazing that God, all you need is one little loophole in God's plan. There was no loophole. God never wanted him to go. Amen? If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Look at this. If the men come to call thee, rise up. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shall... He's saying, I love this. He's telling Balaam, you're an idiot. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go. But, because I know the next verses, because I wrote all this, what I tell you, you're going to say. But, look at this. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. What's that verse missing? What's that verse missing? The men never came to him. What was God's instruction? See, you got to be very careful. I get very leery of people that easily dismiss what God's word says. I post this in front of our kids at chapel. The walls of Jericho. They were given very strict instructions on the walls of Jericho. What happens if they march around 6 times? Nothing. Nothing happens. Why? Because they didn't do what God said. God's directions were specific. Thou shalt not go. Thou shalt not go. Preachers ought not preach in front of Catholic churches. Why? Thou shalt not go. You ought not stand in a platform with people you aren't in agreement with. Why? Thou shalt not go. But if they come to call thee, rise up. They never did come. Do you know what Balaam heard, I believe? Balaam heard, man, rise up. Rise up and go with them. Rise up and go with them. It shall be okay. Let me tell you. This is what happens. If you search long enough and you search hard enough, you'll find somebody that agrees with you. No matter what it is, by the way. You search long enough, you search hard enough, you'll find somebody that agrees. Proverbs says, you'll kiss the lips of those that are in agreement with you. Well, you'll go around long and hard to find somebody, but you will find them. Who do you think you're going to go with? You're going to go with the people that agree with you. And God says, if they come to call thee, rise up and go with them. He did not hear if they come to call thee. He just heard rise up and go with them. Thank you, God. That's what I wanted to do anyhow. God, I want to be somebody important down here. Why else would he go? God, I want to do something great. These men are here to get me. I want to do something great. I want to be known. I want to have the money. I want to have the silver and gold. Oh, God, here it is. Oh, if they come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Oh, all he heard was rise up and go with them. How do you know I know that? Because that's what he did. I don't believe I'm taking great liberties here to tell you what Balaam heard is the difference from what God said. Because God said, thou shalt not go. But then God said, if they come to call thee, rise up. And he doesn't. I've had a lot of people tell me, then why did God give him permission to go? God never did give him permission to go. It's amazing, though, God knew he was still going to do it. Huh? See, God is amazing that he can make everything work together for good. To them who are the called. And we make mistakes as preachers. We make mistakes as people of God. We make mistakes as Christians. We really do. God can work that out, but it's amazing how often we mess up and we need God's long suffering. We know the story of Balaam. We know what comes next. We know what happens. But you know what's funny? Balaam's life ended without fanfare. What he sought, I don't believe he ever got. Amen? We'll go. We'll get there eventually. But look at this. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And people read this verse and they don't understand. They don't get it. Why is God mad? And God's anger was kindled because he went. Because Balaam didn't do what God said. Yes, he did. He said to rise up and go with him. No, he did not. He said, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. The men never came. Balaam wanted to go. Balaam wanted to go. He had a desire to go. And that desire overwhelmed God's word. Is there anything else you can draw from that conclusion? His desire was greater than God's word. Because he did it. How many times has our desire to not do things for God, or our desire to not go forward for God, or our desire to not do what God has asked to do, how many times does our desire overwhelm what God tells us? Huh? We look at Balaam and say, Balaam, you're an idiot. God spoke to you and told you. God speaks to us all the time, yet we still find ourselves doing what we want to do as opposed to doing what God would like us to do. Amen? God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. I feel bad that Balaam doesn't see the angel himself. I feel bad that Balaam doesn't realize he's going down the wrong path. I feel bad that Balaam doesn't understand that God never wanted him to go. And now God's got to try to change his direction. I would to God that Christians would stop for a moment. In a moment of undecided direction. In a moment where they don't really know. Because if you're going to tell me that Balaam knew that he was supposed to be doing this, I'm going to tell you, I doubt that. There's a lot of times when we maybe don't know the direction, yet we still feel that we must go in a direction. I would to God that there'd be times in our life where we would just stop and say, God, I feel like I've made a mistake here. I believe if Balaam turns his ass around right here and heads home, he's just fine. Because God's an unbelievably forgiving and unbelievably merciful God. God wants him to do the things, and God will tell you and let you do things as long as you ask for forgiveness and repentance. God will let you do that. But understand this, walking down the wrong path eventually has consequences. It really, really does. God can't stop the consequences, and he won't stop the consequences. He won't stop them. You'll have consequences. I believe that we are given something to do in our lives. I really do. I believe what we do outside of that hinders what we are capable of, hinders what God can do with us. I believe that. I believe it hinders, but it doesn't stop us from having a purpose. He still uses Balaam, but it's not in a way that he could have used Balaam. See, Balaam should have set up First Baptist Church right there in Moab and said, no, come here and hear about Jesus Christ. Come here and hear about God. Let's set up church right here. You know why? If he does that, they probably don't want to curse Israel anymore. I don't want to send missionaries out and let the missionaries become the people that they're with. I want the missionaries to help the people to become Christian. I don't want to go out into the world to become the world. I don't want to go out into the world and not be used of God. I want to go out into the world and let the world know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he will save you. The funeral that I just preached yesterday in a room of probably 300 people for a 31-year-old woman. 31. I was going to talk about this at church, but I just got the biggest kick out of this. I just preached last week. I just preached last week. Just go a little further. We just got to keep serving God. Just go a little further. I'm watching through the slideshow. Wood Courtright puts on a slideshow of the memories and pictures that the people bring in. It's 31 years old. This lady was 31 years old. Born in 1982. I tell you. Two kids. One boy was a 16-year-old. Now it doesn't have his mama. Unbelievable. Girl's 12. And the slideshow's going. Aaron stops over and he says, hey, you need to watch this slideshow. I said, okay. I'm watching the slideshow, and about 7 slides later, there's a picture of my preacher baptizing that little girl. Right in that baptismal. Bringing her up out of the water. And it struck my remembrance. I remember that girl. She had surgery after surgery after surgery to fix a cleft palate and a hair lip. She had just had surgery about a month before she came, and she still had some scarring, and I remembered that. It was Vacation Bible School. She got saved at Vacation Bible School. She was 12, 13. I did the math real quick, and I'm not absolutely positive on this math, but it had to be very close to this. Within 2 years, she had her son. She got saved here. Within a couple years, she had her son. Had to be. He was 16. Had to be. I'm just trying to do the math. She didn't come back here. And we don't know where all the saved people are that got saved at Vacation Bible School. But as of March 25th, I know where one more is. See, we must do what God has asked us to do. We must do. What happens if we stop? What happens if we decide to go a different direction than what God wants us to go? See, if we decide to go a different direction, you ought not give away cookies, or you ought not give away toys, or, oh, we're just bribing the kids to come. Sure, sure. I'll give the kid a Klondike bar if they'll come to church. Jesus fed the 5,000. Do you think they were there just to listen to his preaching? I'm amazed that we have a direction to go. We have a thought process that God has given us. And although this young lady, saved at a very young age, did not live up to her potential, she still got the opportunity to get saved. And then at her funeral, 250 to 300 people heard the gospel. I don't know. I don't understand all that. What could she have done if she'd have stayed on the right path? What could she have done? At 31 years old, she died because of a drug overdose. How could she then be saved? Oh, you callous people, you better not think that way. How do we know? How do we know what a person's spiritual condition is? Obviously, she was tormented. But I got to be honest with you, right? Lot's righteous soul was vexed daily. You know, it's amazing to me that living in the wrong place and doing the wrong things, keeping company with the wrong people, the Lord still uses us. Thou shalt not go. Thou shalt not curse this people. But he's offered a high promotion. Certainly he can go. But I can't go beyond the word of God. But yet, he does. God's anger was kindled because he went, verse 22, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. As you see the ass seeing the angel of God, and Balaam does not. If you look at this, he continues to go ahead and smite the ass. And the angel of the Lord, verse 26, went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. That is a message in and of itself. You know, it's amazing that God finally puts people in a place where they cannot ignore him. I believe every Christian goes through this. I believe every Christian, at one time or another, God gets you in a spot where you're going to listen. You may not do what he says. You know, I get a little tired of people not doing what God says. I get a little bit tired of people deciding that they're going to do what they want to do instead of what God wants them to do. And God puts them in a spot, a narrow place. You can't turn to the right hand or the left. You can't turn to the right hand or the left. You can't turn to the right hand or the left, but you can sure turn around and walk away. You know, it's amazing to me that we live in this society, in this day and age, where Christianity is not that great anymore, where serving God is not that great anymore. And I believe God's going to put America in that spot, that narrow place, where we can't turn to the right hand or the left, but we sure can turn around and walk away. I hope and pray you as Christians don't turn around and walk away. I hope and pray that when God puts you in that spot, you say, oh God, here am I, send me or do something with me. I know I've got to this spot and I ought not be here, but God, please do something with me. Verse 27, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with a staff, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. Now I know it's kind of ridiculous to be talking to an ass here. But wait a minute. You know, we as Christians sometimes get an indignation. And I want you to notice something here. And I've never heard this talked about, but I'm sure it has been, but I've never heard this talked about. Because thou hast mocked me. I mean, I'm sure he knows more than the donkey. But I got to be honest with you, now God's talking through the donkey, and he doesn't know more than God. And he gets this self-righteousness about him. I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. Don't tell me what God's already told me you shouldn't go, but you went. God said, when the men rise up and come and get thee, fine, then you can go, but they never came, and he went. God has a plan and a place, and he went off track from that. Then he's trying to help you out and put you in a narrow place, and you're still not going to go. And now you're in that place, you say, you know what? Stop telling me what I should do. I had a man stand right in front of my dad one day. I couldn't believe it. If I said the name, you'd know who it was. I'm not going to say the name. He stood right there, and he told my dad to his face, I can't believe my dad didn't jack his jaw. My dad's trying to help him, and there's one thing about your preacher. He loves you people. It's unbelievable how much he cares, and he would do anything for you and never try to hurt you and never try to put you in the wrong direction. And there he was, begging this young man, please, please don't do these things. He says, I'm leaving because I'm sick of man telling me what to do. I'm going to do what God is telling me to do. He's telling this donkey sitting there, who are you to tell me? If I had a sword, I'd kill you. It's amazing to me how we get sometimes good counsel that we refuse to hear. And sometimes it's amazing to me, us that are mature, spiritual Christians, sometimes get advice we don't like. And we get that advice that we don't like, and we can't wait to say, you know what, get away from me. Who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell? Let me tell you something. I don't consider myself to be a stupid man, but you know that you can learn something from every single person in the whole wide world. There's not one person that can't teach you something. I had to come to grips with that. That took me a long time to understand that you can learn from anybody. It took me a long time to understand that I should not just dismiss what people are saying to me just because I think that I'm more intelligent than they. What they may have to say might be the Lord telling them what to say. How do you know? A little child trying to teach you how to care about children, or trying to teach you, who are you? I'm an adult now. Here, and I know this is a donkey, and I know this may sound foolish, but listen to the answer of hatred. Listen to the answer of righteous indignation where I'm right and you're wrong. Listen to what this animal is saying unto him, that God is saying through this animal. And his answer is, and I know it's foolish to talk to a donkey, but his answer is with hatred and malice. Don't tell me that he's following God's will. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? I've done everything you asked. Certainly I'm somebody that you should listen to, even though I'm talking and I'm an animal. How would I try to lead you wrong? I've listened to people in counseling sessions tell me that I'm telling them wrong. Why would I do? Phil, why would I want to steer you wrong? What would be my motive? Phil, I would really like you to fail today. So I'm going to give you bad advice, hoping that you fail. Does that make any sense? Yet here he is. I know it's suspect where it's coming from. But when's the last time you had an animal talk to you? Was there ever something I did to make you not? Was there ever something I've ever done? He said no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. We're going to stop here for today. What did God have to do to get him to listen? What did God have to do to get him to pay attention? What did God have to do to pique his curiosity in the things of God again? What did God have to do to get Balaam to want to do the things of God? Up until this point, he's fallen very short of what God wanted him to do. And as Christians, it's easy for us to fall into that very same trap. And I've seen people get to the point where I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to do what you're telling me. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I don't care what you tell me. I'm not going to do it. Hopefully, when God reveals to them his purpose, hopefully they fall flat on their face and say, oh, Lord, my God. Because in that narrow place, they can still turn around and walk the other direction, which I've seen a lot of folks do too. We're learning a little bit about this man, and I don't know everything about him. I really don't. I'm drawing conclusions sometimes. I'll admit that. But the direction I'm seeing here, I believe that is a true one, because I believe that's what God's teaching us here. And I think as Christians, we must be very careful to listen to what God says and do it. Let's pray today. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity that it is to learn about this man. And Lord, the incredible circumstances that you put in his way, the talking ass. Lord, it's just amazing to me that you would do that to try to steer somebody's path in the right direction, Lord. I'm thankful that he starts to do the things that you would have him to do, Lord. And I would to God that we would, myself included, Lord, do some of the things that you've asked us to do. Oh God, please help us to learn. Help us to get rid of bitterness and strife that's in our life so we can go forward in the direction that you want us to go. Lord, please guide and direct the service of today. Anoint my lips this morning. Lord, I need you. These folks do not need to hear from me. They need to hear from you today. So, Lord, please help us to have a great service this morning. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.